Son of a Son, a podcast unpacking how fatherhood makes better men.
We all learn from, you know, from having references and from models, you know. So we as dads, we need to model what it is to be a man. And not only for our sons, but also for our girls, you know. So girls would know, okay, this is what a good man is. You know, looks like. This is how I should be treated as a lady, you know, when I'm with a man.
Hi, my name is Thabo Legora and my guest today is Langam Bonambi, fellow father of four, and man, he's heavily into homeschooling, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're back again. My name is Thabo Legora, and this is me talking to dads about being dads, because I'm a dad. And today is special. This episode is really special for me. I will be talking to a guy that I've known for now the past 10 years. I met him in varsity when I was still like in first year. And he even officiated my marriage, and we have the same amount of kids. And he's an award-winning musician as well, and but we'll unpack some of that as we go. So I'm joined today by this great man, Langam Bonambi.
Hey, how are you, Thabo? Thank you for having me, brother.
What's up, bro? So, I don't know. Yeah, I'm nervous. I don't know why I'm nervous about this, because I'm like, it's weird being talking to you after so many years, being the guy that's kind of like mentored me through the years. So like now I'm sitting on the other side of the seat where it's almost as if like we're on the same level plane.
Yes.
You got four kids, bro.
Yeah, you've got four kids.
I've got four kids. So I know. So, I mean, like, I'm curious though. I mean, when you, your take on being a parent, on being a father, for me has been, it's inspired me a lot. I think over the years, like kind of like your value and your principles and how you raise your kids. So like, but I'm curious, it's like, what reference do you draw from in how to raise your kids?
So references would be definitely from scripture, you know, from the Bible, and just, and particularly because of the idea of how children are valued. And how family is valued when you actually read the Bible. And so that's where kind of I draw the reference, the ideas. And then also, I mean, mirroring that to my life experiences as well. And just seeing how family has rolled out in different situations. And if, you know, kind of the things that you read in the Bible actually line up with reality. And then in kind of mirroring those things, I found, hey, actually, you know, this thing does make sense. So there's this value for children, this value for family, and that for me was something that was very attractive. Having come from a big family, I'm the 10th child of 11.
10th.
Yes, 10 of 11. But you know, I have a family where we don't share the same mother. It's that kind. So it's a somewhat of a scattered family.
So yeah, and I get you with the reference and the Bible. So would you say that, and how much of where you are now in your parenting is taken from your own dad?
So having grown up, let me say, in this big family, and and so we all kind of grew up in the same house together. So it's a whole bunch of kids. So at any given time, we're probably like 15 kids in our house, because you had cousins as well and what.
Probably. It was just me and my sister, and it felt like this is too much.
Yeah. But naturally, so that was, it was fine when my dad was in the midst of, you know, everything. But when my dad passed away, that changed everything, because he was kind of like the glue. And then so when that happened, then there was, you know, I guess separation of families and whatnot. And so when that kind of happened, you know, for me, it made me think, man, it's easier if you try, one, I think as a guy, is just to look after your family by not having families everywhere. It's just easier to manage when you have one family. But what I loved about it was just the benefit of having a big family, of having brothers and sisters all over the place. And so it felt like you were at school, you know, but like at home.
So now, like,
you know, there was action all the time. Yeah. And that's one thing I just really loved. There was never like a lonely moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now, is that something that you wanted in terms of numbers or you're going for?
So I think part of us wanting a big family was that we wanted children that could grow up together, share values together, but also just the idea of having a house full of people. That was something that, you know, that we both wanted.
Yeah. So now, like, I mean, you know, one of my things, and I said it in like one of the other sessions or recordings, was that, like, the number of kids always for me, like, freaked me out the bigger it got, because I always thought, like, yeah, how am I going to have capacity to, like, give myself mentally, emotionally, and financially to all these kids? Like, is that something that you always also think about? Because I'm like, I don't know if you're done now with four, if you're still going, but like, I always think, like, for the people, there are other guys that are joining the four gang, but I always wonder, like, do you ever think like you're spread thin with the amount of kids that you have?
No, I don't. Simply because I've learned that you adjust. We underestimate our capacity for relationship and our capacity for connection. And I learned that, I think, even in the different stages of having children. So you have one kid and your world changes, you know, for those first few months or whatever it is, you're not sleeping and you're just like, you're hoping somehow your life will, you know, get normal again, but it doesn't. What you do is that you adjust, you know, having a child becomes the new normal. And then you have two, and then your world changes again. You think like, what am I doing? What is happening?
Sure.
Is, you know, life ever going to get normal again? But you adjust. And it's the same as you have each individual kid.
Yeah.
And I think the beauty of it for me has been seeing how different the kids are.
Yeah.
And that, instead of it being like a challenge or a burden, it's been such a blessing for me. You know what I mean? When I look at that kid and I think, oh man, I see, you know, you like building stuff. Or the other one, oh, you like, you know, your artistic stuff. And you just see kind of the difference in the kids.
No, I mean, like, so now the interesting part, which is kind of like the theme we're playing on, is that, so now you're a dad. Like, what's your kind of like interpretation of being a father in your kid's life?
It's, I think the biggest thing, Khabo, I've realized in the journey of being a father and looking around, you know, how people are also raising kids. I think because men are kind of seen as providers, it's the first thing that they think about is providing. So it means, like, you know, working, you know, bringing home the bacon. And I think the first thing we need to provide is security in terms of our presence. So before we provide security in terms of like finances and resources, the biggest resource or thing that kids need is just you. You know, and I think the way that society is kind of set up is that we focus so much on actually providing, you know, the material stuff, that we're never there to provide, you know, the spiritual, the psychological, the, you know, just that sense of security, just because we are present. And so for me, that is the biggest thing. And the thing that I prioritize more than finances, more than anything, is that I spend time with my children. My children know who their father is, and they know that they are known by their father as well. So that's, that for me is what being a father is providing security, you know, that inner sense of security,
sure,
which counts more than that outward sense of security. Because when you have that inner sense of security, you know who you are, you know you're covered, you can go anywhere and do anything.
Sure.
And what you can do is not dictated by your outward circumstances.
Sure.
And so for me, that's the primary thing that we, you know, that, that fathering is about providing that sense of security.
And I want to transition this slightly, is that I know that you guys are very big on homeschooling. And even, I mean, it's changing slightly, but it's been a bit of a taboo in the past in our society. It's not the norm. It's becoming slightly a bit of a norm, in terms of like in the black culture as well. It's kind of like, what is this thing? Your kid must go to school. Why are they, what are they staying at home for?
Yeah.
Like, why homeschooling?
So, again, you know, I guess drawing a little bit from scripture, you know, when we read scripture, it actually says that, you know, there's a passage of scripture that says, you know, whatever you walk, whenever you talk, whatever you do, you know, train your kids. And it's the idea that the role of educating kids and training kids is the parents. It's the parents' role to do that. And so what we've done, I guess, with the schooling system is that we've kind of just handed that over to teachers. And then we don't really take note of what our kids are learning or how they're growing or how they're developing. We just said, hey, you know, you get paid to do it. And look, I mean, in saying that, we're not against the formal kind of schooling system, but what we kind of advocate for is that parents have a handle on what their kids are learning.
100%.
That they take 100% responsibility for that. And so when their kids are learning something wrong, they don't go blame the teachers. But if they're being taught something shady or something that they don't like at school, then it's their responsibility to come after school, debrief with the kids, and teach them what they believe that they should learn. But the case is, as I've said, is that kids learn, you know, values from school, learn values from teachers, and parents don't end up speaking to that. So for us, it was like, listen, the molding stages of for kids is in those first kind of 10 years of life. That's where they get their culture. That's where they get their values, personalities and characters shaped. And we're just like, listen, we want to have a handle on that. And then maybe then put them in the mainstream schooling system. But we want to take full responsibility for them. And so that's why we made that decision. And it was also a decision so that we could spend more time with them. And
this doesn't take away from your time. In like, I mean, I know that you travel a lot.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I always think about, you know, back when I first heard of the concept of homeschooling, I used to hear a lot of people saying, yeah, you can travel with your kids and they can learn on the road and all these. And I'm like, yeah, it sounds fancy. Sounds amazing. But I'm like, at some point, you know, I thought about the practicalities. I thought, yo, dude, as a guy or supposedly, inverted commas, as the provider, is that if time is money and I'm spending it with, you know, at home teaching my kids, or I'm sharing the responsibility with my wife or partner around this thing, it takes away from the potential income I can bring in.
Yeah.
You know, like, is that a reality as well?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I think in anything in life, you need to learn to prioritize. And I think we live in a society where we say we value something, but our actions communicate something else. And so everyone says, man, I'd love to spend time with my, you know, children. And I understand the importance of spending time with kids. But then they work jobs where they leave early, you know, before the kids get up, and they come home after the kids are in bed. You know, and it's, and the whole idea is, but I'm, you know, I'm providing. And then what people try to do is then they make up for it by having, you know, big fancy holidays.
Sure.
You know, but the thing is, like, you've missed those building, you know, putting those building blocks in place, those important moments of connection with your kid. And so you've got to make that decision. You got to decide what is important in my life. What is important for my family? And some of us, I think we need to make that decision of saying, okay, well, maybe I need to work less and earn less, but spend more time with my kids. And that's the trade-off you've got to make.
Sure, there's always a trade-off.
There's always a trade-off. Sure. But it's always based on what you value. What you value. Sure. And so for us, we decided early on that, you know what, we're going to stick to this. This is what we really value, because we may not see the fruit of it, you know, in these, you know, formative years of our kids, but we know as they grow up and they're adults, you know, what we have sown in their lives now, mm-hmm. they'll be able to reap then.
Sure. I mean, like in my case, it's not like, I mean, I aspire to some degree to kind of like have that outlook. But I think for us, it's kind of like my wife has an 8-to-5 and I'm like the freelance guy in the house. So I have the liberty on some days to just, if I'm not traveling to fetch my kids early from school and then we just go out for ice cream. That's not a reality for a lot of people. But I think like on the days where we're both busy, I remember like last year we had this talk about we have peak time traffic at home. Mm. Which means that my wife comes back from work at about 3-to-4. That's the time that the kids also come back because she fetches them. Between 3-4 till about 7, that's our peak time, traffic time, because the kids are back from school. They are hype as ever. There's supper to be done and it needs to be all hands on deck at that time. So we know that like 3-to-7 is untouched time. So like I now intentionally have to work my meetings to work around that time. Gigs and photography stuff has to sit back at that time. So I intentionally make sure that I don't have things at that time. And if I do, I need to give a heads up. So,
yeah.
So I mean, that's been our kind of like remedy for making sure that when they're home, we're home.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I'm saying. I agree with you, like with the whole thing of like, you go to work at 7 o'clock, you come back at 4 o'clock, you are tired, like the kids are coming back from school, like it's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot. And I mean, I don't necessarily agree with kind of like how corporate is run, but that's a discussion for another day. But I mean, like in my take, I completely agree with being present. You have two boys.
Yeah.
Right?
Two boys. So
like,
yeah.
I'm curious though, it's like, I always wonder, like, my experience as a dude in school, being a dude, is the stereotypical experience. You grow up with boys, you grow up macho, bravado, you're with your boys, you're in your cliques and whatever the case is. Now, you know, you have your boys and I'm curious to know, like, with this kind of structure of homeschooling, like, by your observation, how do you see them, like, these boys are different to other boys as when they're hanging out with other kids from like that are in mainstream schools. Like how does that look?
I mean, you know, they say, I guess boys, you know, boys will be boys.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's no different with our guys. They, you know, they fight. I mean, they are 6 and 4.
Jeez, I've seen the stories, bro. Like you know, posted it. It's hectic.
Yeah, and I mean, they're just being boys. Yeah. You know, they fight, they wrestle, they, you know, have challenges, and you know, those kind of things. And that's just them. It's kind of their personalities, and I guess it's maybe just them. You know, just them being boys.
Mm-hmm.
With our homeschooling setup, it's so we obviously school them at home, but then there are particular days where we actually send them out to be a part of other homeschooling communities.
True.
And there they get to interact again with other kids,
yeah,
and things like that. So I mean, it's I think it's quite similar. You know, I think I get to see them interact a lot with other kids.
Mm.
And so when I catch them doing something or acting in a way that's, you know, not according with I guess our values, then I can kind of sit them down and say, boys, listen, we don't do this.
Mm.
You know, So even things like, you know, just hitting and, you know, punching. You know, I mean, the other day my boy was fighting with another girl and I had to sit him down and say, hey, listen, you're stronger. You're a boy. You know, you can't do this. We need to honor. We need to protect. We need to, cover ladies, you know. And, you know, those kind of things. But because I was kind of there, able to see them, you know what I mean? And I get to see
there.
Some of the interactions. I
sure.
can spot something and deal with it, you know. On that, in that moment, and deal with it severely as well. Say, hey, you know what I mean? And again, it's that idea of being able to instill values and catch
and
it while
being
it's
present. Good. Yeah.
But they, you know, they're boys. They do different things, and I guess also having sisters because our eldest is a girl, and their friends, obviously, yeah. You know, is also just even around masculinity and things like that is, you know, there's a greater kind of freedom. So it's not like, hey, listen, boys don't use pink colors or, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So it's just, hey, just watch them and say, hey, let them be who they want to be without putting kind of like these, I guess, masculine kind of boundaries around them, which is, I mean, I was at an all boys school. I know all about that.
Oh, you
know,
that's another thing.
Yeah. You know, so it's just giving them a greater freedom to even to interact with girls and in a way that's, you know, that's cool. And that's honoring.
So there's a common question that I ask everyone that I kind of chat to on this thing is that, you know, as dads, how do we raise better men as being a dad? Looking at your boys now and knowing like the currency of things now, where you come from and everything, with all of that context, like what's your view on how do we raise just better men?
Mm. So I think the easiest way to do that is for us to be better men. There's honestly, I know it's like a cheesy thing,
yeah.
But there's honestly no better way, because we all learn from, you know, from having references and from models, you know. So we as dads, we need to model what it is to be a man, and not only for our sons, but also for our girls, you know. So girls would know, okay, this is what a good man, you know, looks like. Mm. This is how I should be treated as a lady, you know, when I'm with a man. And particularly in the context where, you know, there's the couple is married, you know, so that becomes the kid's reference of what marriage should look like. And so that's how we learn as humans. And that becomes our reference for everything until something else or another idea enters into our kind of world or bubble. You know, that initial idea or model that we've seen becomes our world. And so most of us, when it comes to, for example, like parenting, is that we'll parent the way that we saw our parents parent us.
Yes.
You know, so we'll say the same things. I mean, I caught myself, you know, I think with my kids, when something was finished, you would say, do, finish, you know, and that was something that my, you know,
yes.
you know, that my mother would say, or, you know, when something was finished.
Yes.
And so in the same way.
Like subconsciously, you're just like.
Yeah, because it's the only reference you have.
Yeah.
Until, like I say, until you see something different modeled. And so that's why it helps, you know, as guys, to have other guys and have other models, especially people that we admire, or maybe people, older men that we see that have been good dads, to have them come into our world, particularly for those of us that didn't have good dads, you know, so that we can have something else into our frame of reference.
Yeah.
And then we can see something else modeled and we can follow that.
So it's like, just before even thinking about how do you raise better boys, just think about how do you better yourself.
Yeah, that is the truth of it. That's most of the job is done then. Because you're even now, I mean, my sons, you know, want to be like me. My sons want to follow me. Do you get what I'm saying? Mm. It's that thing. It's like, I want to be with Baba, you know? It's that thing, because they see us as that male figure, that hero. And so whatever it is that we do or say, they will emulate. So we need to make sure that we're doing and we're saying the right things.
Bro, that's power. That's probably how I'm going to end this off.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming, bro. I really appreciate it.
Son of a Son, a podcast unpacking how fatherhood makes better men. # Son of a Son.
This is a POC podcast.
Powered by Blue Blood.